This is the Outliers Edge podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by taking them to the edge of their comfort zone so that they can lead us to the edge of what's next. I'm your host, Niyama Ashan. Let's do this. Hello, hello there, Outliers. Niyama Ashan here, founder of Outliers Edge, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity. Today, we get a chance to have a conversation with someone who also champions leaders, shaping new things and bringing new things out to life here. We get to spend time with Sunmeet Jolly. Sunmeet, it's really a pleasure to be in this conversation with you today. How are you?
I'm fine, Niyama. Thank you for inviting me. And hello, everybody.
Hey. Well, Sunmeet, we know that we're about the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity. The shaping part of it is like they are out in the world creating, they're bringing things together, and they're molding where we're heading, right? I would love to orient ourselves in this conversation about us getting in the direction of where we're shaping here. So can you tell me a little bit about what you stand for in the world?
Yes. Thanks, Niyama. So I have always been motivated and impressed by technological innovation. And that brought me to Silicon Valley 22 years ago. I've been here for more than two decades. We've seen the internet evolve and internet-based companies evolve. We've seen the smartphone revolution. We have seen, now we are seeing blockchain, cryptocurrencies. We've seen technology affecting human life in almost every aspect of what we do, how we travel, how we eat food, how we get stuff delivered, how we travel, how we communicate. And it is very exciting. You know, now artificial intelligence is coming in. And so my life has been pretty much, shaped by doing work in the technology industry, whether it was, working in corporate job for almost over a decade, or whether it's my early stage technology investments as an angel investor, or whether it is founding a company and having inventing new technologies, obtaining patents for those technologies, and building a new brand in certain areas. So innovation and making life better, cheaper, faster using technology, and evolving products that shape how we do things has been pretty much the summary of my life story.
I hear that, innovation and making life better, cheaper, faster through technology. Did I hear that right?
Yes. I mean, better covers a lot of things, cheaper covers a lot of things, and faster covers a lot of things.
So I'm following you. I'm actually really curious here. As we talk, I'm going to just spend some time just getting really curious about you and why, right? Actually, no, let me be more specific. I love to find out what makes you both an outlier in your own realm. So when it comes to angel investing, what are some of the things that you do or have thought that have gotten you to the successes that you've had? When it comes to the things that you're out in the world and you put your energy behind, what makes those things different than others? I love finding those little elements out. So we'll explore that as this comes into the conversation here. Tell me right now, what's a project that you're working on? What's a company that you're behind right now that really excites you, that you wake up in the morning and you're just like, oh, I'm really glad that this is the innovation that I'm pursuing right now.
Yes, we have a consumer application called Grotu. Grotu is available on both iOS and Android for smartphones and tablets. And Grotu was launched a few years ago, just before pandemic. And it's already got 91,000 app downloads and a near 5-star rating on both app stores. not exactly 5-star, but slightly less than 5 stars. Mm-hmm. But the focus of Grotto is to provide consumers with tools that they use in their daily life for group productivity. So our chat apps, which are the most popular chat apps, WhatsApp and Messenger, they're end-to-end encrypted. And because of encryption, they do not allow third-party tools to integrate, just the way a Slack or Microsoft Teams would, or the way our ERP system is constructed, where there's a human resources module and a CRM module and a Salesforce module and manufacturing module, supply chain module. And encryption ensures privacy, but encryption does not allow a centralized agency to look at or manipulate the data people are sharing or working on, which means everything is encrypted and put in a queue. So if you have 100 people group and they are chatting about 100 people can't chat about the same thing. You know, somebody's going to put in jokes, somebody's going to put in political news, somebody's going to put in some rants and something or planning. So everything is queued and mixed up in chat apps, which makes it difficult for planning events, trips, splitting bills, even organizing photos in a cloud album. But our chat apps move hundreds of billions of messages queued up every day. And a lot of those messages are for planning purposes, like travel planning, event planning, potluck management, expense splitting, decision where to go, what to do next for the group, scheduling stuff, sharing stuff. And that gets mixed up in the entire chat volume, which may include jokes, TikTok videos, Reels videos, and everything else. And to take out the planning use cases and make a better system for productivity tools, we started Grotto in 2000. I almost started working on this idea in 2015-16 timeframe. It got more serious in 2017 and later when we filed a provisional patent. And then we got our first US patent granted. We released the app. It's available in 175 countries now, downloaded in 175 countries already. People should just check it out. Go to www.grotto.com or just type Grotto on iOS and Android and download the app. And there are explainer videos on our website on what use cases have already been built. And we are always looking for more use cases to make people's life easier. It's not a replacement for chat apps, because we focus more on group productivity tools and not so much on the group communication, like video communication or chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So the idea is that it's a complementary app for your groups.
Yep.
You know, that goes well along with your chat. Instead of attaching Excel sheets to your WhatsApp conversation for splitting bills or doing something else, you can just use Grotto for those kind of use cases.
Yeah, before we came on here, I was like, I really want to understand this a bit here. So I went and I downloaded it, and I was thinking about, I lived in Southeast Asia for about 4 years. And one of the things that we did a lot was that we would go on trips. It's just part of what you do, especially we lived in Singapore. So it was like, it wasn't that difficult to travel at all. Actually, it was easy to travel throughout Southeast Asia. I can't even say it wasn't difficult. It was easy at the time. Just seeing like some of the things in the app there around like just being able to manage that experience with others. And what I'm hearing is like, it's a dedicated platform for that. So you're not getting lost in all the other kind of noise and such when you're trying to organize that through some of the larger platforms from the more other platforms, at least.
Yes, because many people do not read all chat.
Yep.
Right. Many times when we are busy, we'll just skip a few days of chat and then you can miss out on important planning stuff, because some of these events and trips are planned over weeks or even months.
Yeah.
And so.
So now I get interested here. Like, thank you. I wanted to give some time and space for us to like see, like, all right, this is where like a lot of your energy right now is going into, like, it takes something to get the number of downloads that you've had. Clearly there's value in it for this to be taking place. I want to be focused in our conversation around a couple of different components. Like, there's a number of people who are innovators as well who listen to this podcast, and what I want to kind of just tap into is, like, from your standpoint here, as someone who's, like, is big in innovation, like, has found a really great solution to a problem that's out there. I'm just gonna ask it this way: what's your, like, for you specifically, Sunmi, what's your favorite part of, like, helping the world get access to the GrowTo app?
Well, the favorite part is that if people use your creation, then as an innovator, as a creator, you have that self-actualization that you're achieving. Mm-hmm. You know, what brought me to Silicon Valley 22 years ago, I did my engineering in India, and I pursued a master's in India as well. But I used to work in Hewlett-Packard's India division. And then I read the book, The HP Way. And when I read The HP Way, it was like, oh, Silicon Valley, what a place it is. And, you know, I really wanted to visit. And now I'm living here for the last two decades. Innovation and how technology has shaped our lives in the last 3, 4, 5 decades has been my passion. So if today I have 2 US patents granted in this space, in the social network, private social networking, group productivity tools area. One is a group travel and events planner, and second is a group resource scheduling system where you can share tennis courts and swimming pools and anything that's a shared shareable resource amongst multiple groups of people. Parking lots, clubhouses, office equipment, office. So there's a centralized downloadable mobile system that I have, I filed a patent for, and I now have a US patent granted on that. So what I feel good is that I am now an inventor myself in the Valley.
Yeah, can I just really just pause and, like, acknowledge you on that?
I feel good about it that I'm inventing new solutions that can be used by people all around the world, and they get help from it.
Let me just take some time to acknowledge you on this. Like, if I'm hearing you right, like, you're in India, like, you read a book, it planted a seed, you made a move to go to Silicon Valley, and you weren't just around the scene, like, you came into it and you contribute. You're an inventor and an innovator, and they are different, right? An inventor, an innovator, and an investor, right? If I'm getting those three right there, you got the ins. You're in on the in right now, right? It's the right place to be.
But it's taken many years of just working in corporate to be able to have the luxury of sitting out and doing something or investing something, you know? Okay. First decade, I was simply working a corporate sales job in the high-tech industry.
Yes.
And learning how to build business, how to do millions of dollars of sales. And there was innovation in that too, when we built the cross-border software teams. A lot of technology was being used for that, as well as, you know, there was business model innovation in that. But there I was operating in the capacity of an employee who's working and promoting something that the company had built a model on. While as in GrowTo, I'm thinking right from the problem stage, oh, this is a problem that has not been solved. Or this is a problem that is being inefficiently solved by using Excel sheets on mobile phone, while we can build a mobile app or a module inside GrowTo for this. So now I have the luxury of sitting and thinking about where I see technology has not touched an area, and technology can improve that and be the first to think about and design a solution put it on papers, file a patent, get it granted, build it, put a name to it, and sell it to the market. So it's earned over many years and decades. It's not a one-day thing, right? I was not born with a golden spoon that I would come to Valley and sit in a luxurious San Jose home office and start thinking what the world needs. I had to take up a job immediately. I had to work 10 years or more, earning, buying my first home, buying investment properties, trading stocks and options, building that cushion of, funds that would give me the luxury later on in life to sit out and do these other things now, like angel investing, as well as inventing an app.
Yeah.
Set of modules.
So like, I hear this and I really appreciate you taking the time to like slow it down. Like, it's like, this didn't just happen overnight. Right. And it's, I would acknowledge that it didn't just happen overnight. What I'm hearing from you is like, you came in and you continued to do the work and you continue to build yourself and build the resources and assets and everything else that were necessary such that when the time came for you to really play at the level that you wanted to play, that became available. Am I getting that right?
Yes, and even building your network and learning.
Absolutely. Because
every skill is learned and honed over a period of time. So today I have more than 13,000 LinkedIn connections / followers. I have over 240,000 Facebook followers for 101 Islands brand blog that we have. They're all built over a period of time.
Yeah, yeah. So something I have to ask you this year, because the patent creation, the patent holding process, right? Without going into like the details of it all, that like I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, when was the last time I talked to someone who brought up a patent that they had? And so I'm curious for your perspective, when you got to Silicon Valley, did you ever think that you would be an inventor? Was that like the game that you wanted to play?
Well, Silicon Valley has always been a very expensive place to live in.
Yes.
When you first land in Silicon Valley, you have to first survive. Mm-hmm. You can dream of, oh, one day I'm going to have a company, and you can dream of, oh, look, this person built a company and sold it to XYZ for so much. But reality is that you first survive. First, you take up a job and you start, earning your money, and you have a family to feed, and your family is growing, and you have to send your kids to good schools, and you have to buy your first home, and then you have to buy, later. So for a large part of the first decade, my investments were more in real estate. So I bought multiple properties in and around Silicon Valley. I invested back home in India, in Gurgaon. I have a flat and certain mile of radius to capital region of India, New Delhi. I have a few properties there too. So while I kept visiting the conferences that happen in Silicon Valley, the technology conferences every year, and get motivated by these people who are building companies which are hundreds of millions or billions in valuation, I didn't have any concrete idea or even a stage of life or capital enough that I would quit a job and jump into something, or even something that can be so great that you can take it to an angel or a renowned person and say, I want to build this, I'm willing to quit my career and do this. So it took a while to reach at that stage. Once mobile phones came in our hands and we started seeing the apps being developed around smaller problems. And I already was in the ERP field. I'd seen corporate systems right from mainframe AS400, Java, custom coded, to Oracle, SAP applications, and middleware applications connecting everything together in corporate. I started to question, using that knowledge of a decade, I started to question why we only have WhatsApp and YouTube and more entertainment-based systems for outside of work, because we might need some productivity tools for outside of work too. For work, we have like tons of software. Everything is software-driven in work. When you step out of work, it's more entertaining, you know, YouTube videos, or consumer communication was largely email at that time. WhatsApp was just coming up after 2000, 12, 13 period. So question was, again, because of encryption, WhatsApp was only not allowing tools to be built and integrated with WhatsApp. So we said, okay, then is the need of a consumer ERP type system, which will have all these tools, and people don't want to download too many apps. They also don't want to fight on which app to download for what use case out of hundreds or thousands of apps available on me. So there is a need for a single brand umbrella where you have these multiple tools. So that you download only one app and it gives you like this important 10 or 5 or 10 tools critical for it, like a kitchen knife set.
Yeah.
You may go and buy a separate knife for something, but your tendency is to go and buy a whole kitchen knife set, which has those most commonly used knives in there. So that's what the whole idea was. And then using the knowledge from past and knowledge learned by doing the mobile application, we were able to build and ship the early version of the product.
What has been like, as you're talking here, I'm excited to explore like the component of something that didn't exist and then it does. So when I think about Silicon Valley, right? I've never lived there. Right. When I think of Silicon Valley, there's something about being like in that environment where there's new innovations coming on out regularly. You're like, you have regular access to different types of events where people are, you know, like you're like, so the, like there's a whole sphere, there's an environment of like, let's create, we're shipping, we're making, we're getting things out into the world. Right. Is that fairly accurate?
It shapes you, because this Saturday, I went to one of the conferences where I briefly met Jyoti Bansal. He's the guy who sold a startup called AppDynamics to Cisco for $3.7 billion. He also is educated in India. He came as an engineer. He worked in CA Technologies for 7 years. Mm-hmm. He was on H-1B visa. He got his green card, built a company, took venture capital, and then sold it to Cisco for $3.7 billion. I got to say hello to him and to take a selfie with him as well. And now after that, he has started a venture fund, and also he started two new companies, one of which, or maybe I think both, are unicorns themselves. So this guy is on a roll right now, but you know, this is the kind of inspiration you can get here when you see people from all walks of life. They come, like Elon Musk. I mean, his story is well published. He came from South Africa to study. He studied in.
Well, I'm gonna ask you a quick question here, because that is well published, right? We can find out about Elon Musk's story. We may not get to find out much about Sunmeet's story just yet. So
people get shaped by their environment. That's what I'm trying to say. So these conferences, I attend 4 or 5 of them every year, but then all the people around in Silicon Valley, most of them are engineers or some kind of engineering or marketing background. Mm-hmm. So the conversations in during lunch or dinner at times will come down to what problem we are seeing around, how can technology shape this particular product, how old technology is currently working or doing it, and how a new technology can change it, make it better, faster, cheaper.
Yeah.
Or a technology is not being used at all, and technology. So many times conversations, even on regular breakfast or dinners, can share, and you can learn from other people. Most people around are working in Google's and Facebook's and, you know, Cisco or Apple. So there is a shaping of your personality, your character, your thinking that happens because of the environment. And Silicon Valley is not the only one. Now, Austin, Texas, I have angel investments in companies which are based in Boston, Massachusetts. They have a good tech corridor also. And Austin, Texas also. And then India, now Bangalore and parts of New Delhi, they are doing a lot of technology innovation and building companies either for the local country or for the region or even for globe. So yes, you know, if we were living in, say, maybe Salt Lake City, Utah, for last two decades, maybe I wouldn't have been able to do this or be even encouraged by what I see.
And I think that, like, that is, it's one of the reasons why I love technology from the standpoint of, like, being able to get podcasts out in the world, being able to get different things out into this, into space, because you don't have to be in the physical environment as much. But, like, I really want to acknowledge you, Sunmi, because what I hear from about you when I think about your journey over at least the last 22 years, if not more, is like you've consistently done what it took to put yourself in the environments that would, like, most support what it is that you're looking for. Like, you saw something in India, you read the HP way, and you're like, and like something took place to, like, get you to change the direction of where your life might have gone to get you over to Silicon Valley.
Then, well, it was the book, yeah, that I mean, because I was working in HP India at that time.
Yes.
And Hewlett Packard office had those, had book, and I was impressed by the culture that the company had built. And then, but I've read a lot of books, and I attend a lot of events, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and
yes.
So it's not just the, it started with the HP way, but, you know, the education and mindset has been shaped over years and decades.
What are like two or three of, like, the most important, like, books for you in terms of shaping the mindset for you? Like, because what I think I'm pulling out here is, like, there's one thing to want to create, there's one thing to want to innovate and to want to be an inventor. Like, I see you, like, I hear your story as you keep putting yourself in positions for that to happen. Even when you're like, I'm gonna go work, I'm gonna go take care of all the family needs, I'm gonna make the right kinds of investments right now that are good for where the family's at right now or where life is at. Okay, now I'm positioned to go forth from there. I get really curious about, like, this mindset that you have that's led you to the success here. And so, like, you can speak about the mindset, or you can tell us about, like, two or three books that you're like these ones right here really helped me see something important at a time.
So in early days of being in the Valley, I bought my first property in 2004, this San Jose home, where I'm sitting right now. And I also bought another property in Gurgaon, India, in the same year, 2004. Between 2004 and 2007, I was literally accumulating properties and renting them out in both geographies. And it was shaped by none other than Donald Trump's books. Because I attended one of the seminars in San Francisco where Donald Trump and I think Tony Robbins, they both came in, and they used to talk about real estate wealth creation at that time. So I learned about, you know, real estate and financing and leverage, and got encouraged a lot by Donald Trump and his books. I read many of them at that time. I've been a student of economics for a while, and Alan Greenspan, I feel, has been the mastermind behind the successes of what United States is as a capitalist country. He was Federal Reserve Governor for almost three decades, Alan Greenspan. And he wrote a book, and I read that book too during those days. And, I used to follow him on TV as well. So those are some of those and then of course, stuff written by Bill Gates. Very early on, there used to be a book. I don't remember the name, but yeah, he laid out how technology will change the future, how internet will change the future, how software will change the future, much, much before anybody else did. And some of those things we saw happening when we were in the valley. As computation speeds became cheaper and faster every year, more and more solutions, software-based solutions, evolved for many of the things. Like we've seen Netflix. I've been here in the valley when I used to go and rent DVDs from Hollywood Video and Blockbuster Video.
Yep.
And then I've seen Netflix, which is 10 minutes from here in Los Gatos. And I've been a subscriber to their early envelope mailing. And then we have seen the shift from those envelopes, DVDs in envelopes, to streaming now. And at one point you could question, can you really stream high definition video? Is the internet going to be fast enough for everybody to see high definition video on their TV? And look at where we are today. We are today taking our own TikTok videos and streaming it in high definition free of cost.
Yes.
Look at the volume. People are making their own movies. And so technology has made a lot of things possible which were unthinkable a decade or two decades ago. And it continues to surprise and amaze what's possible in the future.
Well, I like this. Yeah, let's start wrapping up this conversation from the standpoint of looking to the future. I'll ask you this here in two parts here. One, what do you see as what excites you the most when you look to the horizon ahead of you? Like, what are you most excited to either take on or bring to life? Or it could even be a challenge. It'd be like, hey, this is a big challenge that's coming up here, and I'm just really excited to get into it and be one of the people that find a solution around it. Just curious for you, when you're looking ahead.
See, one thing about getting this early education in technology as well as marketing is that you see a lot of things which are possible, but you cannot focus your energy on everything that's possible. Mm-hmm. So I had the idea of cross-border trade, and I reserved a domain name called exportwindow.com in 2000. But my situation was that I couldn't have worked on something that eventually became Alibaba, because I was working in another industry. I had to do a corporate job to pay the bills. I didn't have the luxury to start it, but I had the idea. Later on came Etsy, later on came Shopify, later on came e-commerce, became such a big, Amazon was nothing, and Amazon became so big from that point onwards. Did I have the courage to start something in that? Maybe I would have been successful. Maybe I would have had a brand. So ideas are there. When you are educated in basic technology and marketing, there will always be ideas. You'll always question why this is working with the old technology, and why can't we build and market and brand new brand? Or why are these five things separate? Why I can't synthesize them into one to make it simpler?
Yep.
So, but question is, can I work on everything? No, I can't even work properly myself alone on Grotu. I need a team of people to be able to, because itself is such a big project. To do justice to it requires both a lot of capital, a lot of talent, time, marketing, and adaptation. Consumers these days do not just listen to a brand and download and try it. there's a lot of noise out there, you know. So getting an app to large scale downloads and masses, or anything that you're like, even your podcast you're doing, right? And you have hundreds of people now, but you want to reach thousands and maybe millions, right? That's your dream. And you know how it cannot happen in one day.
Yeah.
It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of word of mouth where people tell other people. And then, so you have to focus. So, and that's where, you know, although there are so many ideas, I already have so many ideas. If today, if I exit Grow 2, what I can do, possibly do after this. But then I'm right now focusing on this.
I like the number of different points of what you said. One, it's like, hey, let's just acknowledge that there's a lot of possibilities, right? And I think that's really big, because depending on the person, depending on what they see, like you know, they may not recognize just how much is actually available. What I'm hearing from you is like, this is. There are always opportunities. There's always possibilities all around you. You can walk down the street, and if you're asking yourself the question, can this be done better, cheaper, faster, to get, like, you will find answers to it. Yes. Right. What I'm also hearing from you is, given that, it's really important to choose what you choose to focus on, such that something can come to life. Because if I'm hearing underneath it, it's like, it takes way more effort, time, money, resources, people, like energy. It takes way more things than you might think to actually make something come to life. Right? I actually hear you saying that from, like, when I was talking about, hey, what was the one book? You're like, it's not the one book. It's actually all the, like, I was in HB. It was all the different books. It was the podcast. It was all these different things. It takes a lot more than just something simple there with this year. And I hear that energy in there. Anything you want to add to that?
So yes, I think one aspect of participating in all the stuff that's going on, or most of the stuff that's exciting for you, is by way of angel investing. I'm an angel investor in 44 other startups. There are startups in robotics, there are drones, there are biotechnology, there's artificial intelligence startups, there's consumer app startups, there's video game startups, there's virtual reality startups. So I don't have to build all those brands. There are other founders who are doing it and focusing on it. I can participate in the upside of that by investing early in those. In most cases, I know the founders. You know, I've met them, or I've met them over internet or personally if they're in Silicon Valley. And I follow their journey when they give updates about how the company is proceeding, what are the challenges. We also time to time help them by connecting them with our other connections. And when they exit by via IPO or M&A, you get to multiply your original investment as well. And you are part and parcel of that innovation that's going on. So many of the companies, like one company called Heliogen, I invested in them when they were at a $20 million pre-money valuation in 2017, when the founder did a breakfast presentation here. He's a well-known founder. Mr. Bill Gross from Idea Lab. And he wanted to raise a seed round at that time, part of it from a large number of people. And part of it was funded by Bill Gates and some other renowned people, Steve Case as well. And that company eventually went public December 31st, 2021, via SPAC merger at $2 billion valuation. So from 20 million to 2 billion journey, I participated in the upside of that, and we got public SPAC, post-merger SPAC shares. So not only did we participate in the progressing of that technology, which is reducing fossil fuel consumption by taking sunlight and software and artificial intelligence to generate heat, industrial heat using sunlight without burning fossil fuels. So being a part of that journey, but not founding or being 100% involved, the angel investing makes it possible. And you can make as many of those investments. So I'm in drones also, I'm in clean tech also, I'm in, and I can get that excitement of, and a little bit of upside also if they do well.
Yep.
So I think that answers the question that you don't have to found everything yourself. It is not possible. You can be founder of one brand or maybe two, or if you're Elon Musk, then you can have five Decacorns, or yeah. You know, like he has SpaceX and he has Tesla and he has Boring Company, and then he has, but he's a superhuman. So there are founders who can do multiple companies, but most of us can focus on one or two projects as full-time CEOs and founders, and then rest of it we participate using our money and help the founders wherever we can.
Like this year. I think this is a good place for us to wrap up today's conversation here. I really like the element of like finding different means to like leverage yourself, right? It's like not, you don't have to go found everything, but there are ways to go make like to leverage yourself to still be involved, to both shape in some ways, but also participate and like be on the journey with as well here. So I mean, I appreciate this. It's been good getting to know you and seeing how you think about things here. For those who are interested in continuing the conversation with you or like finding out more about what you're doing, where can they go?
Best is for professional connections. I use LinkedIn.
Perfect.
I have over 13,000 connections, and I also answer my direct messages. Not all of them, but I try to as much as possible. Yeah. And the best way is to connect with me on LinkedIn and ask any questions or about either angel investing or, you know, whatever my expertise is. If I can help people, I do help people all the time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. I wish you all the best here, and thanks for being the outlier that you are.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a work in progress, like everybody else is, always learning, always looking for opportunities. And I feel that life has always been exciting, is exciting, and will be more exciting in future.
Nice. Here's to that. Here's to that, Sunmi. Take care.
Thanks, Tim.
We're just getting started. Take 10 seconds to think about your greatest insight from today's conversation. And if you're ready to go and bring this to a deeper, more applicable level for you, come and join us in an upcoming masterclass. Go to outliersedge.com/masterclass to be coached live and to bring your aspirations, your goals, and your challenges and have them handled in real time. This is high flame, high impact, high transformation. Go to outliersedge.com/masterclass and come experience your next level of leadership. Thank you.